from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Harvey Weinstein can't fit into his handcuffs. Nicki Minaj pulls another stunt. New York housewife Ramona crashes Luann's birthday party. And I finally discovered 90 Day Fiancé. That and lots more with a special roundtable just for you. Let the ranting begin. It's episode number 95, the final panel before the 100th episode. And I'm your host, Grant. Hello, welcome to the rants. And around the table from me are some OGs in the podcasting world of my podcasting life. You asked for it and you got it. We're bringing everybody back from our old AfterBuzz panel, starting with Christy Olsen.
Yay! Hello, everybody!
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to LA. Welcome back to the rants.
God, I can't even tell you how good this feels.
Good for you. Good for you. And Megan Stecker's here. Hello.
Hi.
Love having you on the show.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back.
And to round out this quad is Fern Rose.
Yeah, I'm so excited. The dream team is back together.
I'm officially the most guested guest of the rant.
Me?
Oh. Yeah. I know. I feel like you've been on. I didn't think that many times, but...
Really?
Yes, yes.
I want a crown or something.
A little trophy.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the rants. Let's do this. I was thinking, you know, like... as we're coming up to this 100th episode, which I make such a big deal about, but I'm trying to think of things like, you know, that like before Grant's Rants existed, it was the four of us on AfterBuzz talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and what else did we do as a quad? Was that the only one we talked about? Because then Christy and I went off and did OC.
Right.
And then Fern and I did, and Megan and I did New Jersey.
Yeah.
So why not? So, you know, so many great people who listened to us back in the day are still tuning in. So
even your grandma, when I was talking to your grandmother when she was here, she's like, I loved you four together.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah, the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we are. And let's talk about a few things. But first, I must tell you about a podcast that I insist that you check out. Today's podcast is brought to you by ArtistPodcast.com, which interviews leading fine art experts. Check out their most recent episodes and get their free ebook. The ebook is called The 5 Keys to Art Investing Success. And you can get that by using the promotional code GrantsRants. Don't miss out. ArtistPodcast.com. I encourage you to check it out. It looks like a nice conversation. They say it's lively conversation and content about the world of art. So, you know, maybe after hearing about pop culture, you want to be just cultured in a more high-end way. Artist podcast. Check it out. But let's go from the nice things in life, like art, to garbage, like Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Somebody love that segue.
Somebody finally took him out. Obviously, this show is about commentary and escape, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, Harvey Weinstein at the end of all this, you know, on a show called Hollywood Talk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's away, finally, he surrendered in New York to his sexual assault charges. Page Six has had a field day with this. There's literally a list, like a laundry list on the right-hand column of just Harvey Weinstein, like all these little details, like one little, like alleged detail has become a full article. It's a total mess. How do you feel about this? Any messages to Harvey?
I mean, I guess this is the point where you would say, don't drop the soap, but let's face it, he's not going to jail, unfortunately. He'll skate right over this, don't you think?
I don't know. They painted a sad picture of him, that he was seated on the floor of his holding cell. He's too fat to have regular
handcuffs.
So he has to have 3 strung together. They really made him out to be like a real pig. And they said, oh, he has trouble walking. All these people, Bill Cosby, the same thing. The minute he was up against something, he lost all of his senses. He couldn't walk, talk, see anything. You know, these people, they crumble after they do all these horrible things.
They still have people pulling strings behind the scenes. I guarantee you he still has a crisis PR team out there working for him. He's still got money somewhere.
Yeah. We talked about it on this show. Marquesa gowns, is it okay to wear them in this post-Harvey era? What do you think?
I'm torn.
I think that the wife's brand shouldn't have to suffer, but I kind of think, did she not know any of this was going on, that he was such a monster? I'm torn. I feel like the gowns and that brand and all the people that work for it shouldn't have to be punished, it's sticky because somebody's going to want to make a point about him if you do wear a Marquesa gown. So I feel like it's just collateral damage, and maybe she should start a different line under mm-hmm. a different name without
yes.
his mm-hmm. help, and maybe she could continue being a designer.
A yeah. fresh yeah, start. I like that so idea.
Too. I was torn too. I was like, oh, she shouldn't suffer. She worked hard to build that brand. But if I thought she married him for love and she were really in love with him and she really had no idea what kind of man he was, and then all of a sudden this all came out and she was blindsided and her business suffers on top of it, that would be horrible. But I just don't in my heart of hearts believe she ever really loved him, and she married a very powerful man, and then all of a sudden her business went through the roof and she became very successful. So that's a totally different story, but for the sake of a clean slate, she should just scratch it, call it something new, start a new line.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Rebrand. Yeah. It's a simple thing. People do it all the time. People file for Chapter 11. They have a bad breakup with their partner or whatever in the business, and then they just rename it. I mean, any final thoughts on this whole Harvey Weinstein thing? I hate to say, like, okay, it's over now, because really there's still so much work that has to be done in the business and all this stuff. But, you know, as far as he goes, you don't, Christy, you don't think anything's really going to come of anything like this?
No, unfortunately. They're not. A lot of the allegations are old. Even these ones that he's finally being stuck with are old. It's all still... He said, she said, I mean, we've seen celebrities get off on this kind of thing repeatedly. And just because this has been a bigger story, I guess yeah. there could be a situation where they OJ Simpson him and like just be like, you know what? We know you're guilty of a bunch of crap. So we're just going to say you did this and it's over. But I would not predict that happening.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. It took the DA so long to bring these charges. I think they were hoping it would go away and no one would notice, but people stayed on top of it. So they finally brought them. And these are the hardest cases to prove. You know, like every other crime, there's usually some kind of evidence. Maybe there's an eyewitness. With sex crimes, there's never an eyewitness. Even if there's physical evidence, they could say it was consensual. They're the hardest cases to prove, unfortunately. So I think with this one, they had that tape, that audio tape of her, that of the victim. So I think that helped. But I think the DA was hoping it would go away. And I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah.
So who knows if he'll go away, but... At least he's not getting away with it.
Witch hunting kind of, I don't want to say witch hunting because obviously there's a lot of people that have done things really wrong. But do you think the desire to go after every last guy and bring him out of the woodwork, do you think that's going to end now? Like people will be satisfied? Like, okay, Harvey's facing charges. We're good now?
I don't know. I mean, it's like this Morgan Freeman stuff just came out as well. So I think it's like an ongoing process. I'm just hoping that like as each... person's sins are being brought to light, that they can no longer do this to anyone else, you know, this is like
amen
bringing a yes. stop to this kind of behavior.
Yeah, it's so messy. In fact, one of the most recent guests I had on this show really did not want to talk about it because they felt like they couldn't win in whatever they were saying, and they were very uncomfortable to discuss it. And I get it. I mean, you know, it's not, I mean if you know, why don't you have to worry about it if you're just commentating on it, really? But it's a really sticky situation. So I don't know. I'm personally tired of talking about it. But I think it's important that it doesn't disappear and it doesn't just say people. And I feel like the way people think are like, okay, well, Harvey's got done now. So we've covered that. We've, you know, handled it. No. So anyway, let's talk about something else, please. Nicki Minaj and Eminem.
Yes!
Lord, why is this even in here? Are they a new couple, Christy, or what?
They are not. She has confirmed she was just kidding, I think, as she said, but i.e., you know, just promoting her album. But this was a genius way to do it.
To me, it's a desperate way to do it.
Well, can we hold out a little bit of hope that maybe it'll happen now that she's put it out there in the universe?
Yes, I'm all for this couple.
Really?
I feel like it brings him back to a little bit of relevance and more of his early, like late 90s, early 2000s self. It makes him like a little younger because he's very quiet. He's lived such a quiet life for so many years. Yeah. I feel like it's bringing him back and making me think of the old M. and like, what a hot pairing. I would love to see them date.
They said that he has had a hard time getting over his divorce, but he divorced in 2001. So,
you know, that's like his tortured true love, that relationship with Kim. So I don't know if he'll ever find somebody that makes him that excited, passionately want to kill them.
Horrible.
Oh, yes.
Well, I guess he just like has a type, you know?
Crazy. You know,
he likes the crazy.
She wrote
Mariah. Let's not forget about Mariah.
Oh, yeah. She wrote about him in this song called Big Bank, and I won't rap for you. I won't do it. But she talked about how she bagged M, and then she says, once he go black, he'll be back again.
That was fabulous, Grant.
Thank you. So to me, Nicki Minaj, once again, being very desperate to just latch on to whatever she can get in the press. I don't enjoy her. To me, she's a stunt queen. And I just naturally reject people like that. There's someone that I went to high school with that most people think know me really well, know exactly who I'm talking about, who pulls stunts like this all the time, and it's just so tiring. So I just know the type. Nicki, I say this to you all the time on the show. If you have the talent, why are you pulling stunts? Why do we only know you for your ass? What else do you have to give?
That's a fantastic point. Also, put less men on your album. It's okay to just have a Nicki song.
Yeah.
Just a Nicki song.
And you don't need to be featured on everyone else's songs either. I'm on a lot of cold medication, y'all. So if I'm a little off center and sound crazy on this show, it's because I am. I've really been like down and out, and I just haven't been able to see like the light of day for like 4 days straight. And it's been ridiculous. So I looked forward to this panel. I'm on the mend. Thank you for all the nice messages on the gram and all that, kids. But wow, like, oof, a sinus infection can really take you down.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really didn't need this right now. So anyway, a fan did ask Nicki if she was together with Eminem, and she said yes, just Y-E-S. So this must be before you found out the information, Christy, that it's not happening.
Yes, that has been since they've asked her to clarify.
So again, what is this, Nicki? This another stunt thing you're pulling off on Twitter. So bye. Bye. Another story on page six. I love this. It's like page six exclusive. Real Housewives of New York. Ladies were celebrating Lou's birthday at Omar's. What is Omar's? Are we familiar with? Is this a new thing?
I'm not familiar. No. Maybe it's just like a name check. Like, this is where they were.
Yeah,
so that you know what neighborhood.
Okay, yeah.
Or so, Omar's paid page six.
There you go. 100%. They had the server call up. Here's who was here.
So at Omar's, whatever the hell that is, Luann and Jill Zarin celebrated Luann's birthday with Dorinda and John. We could imagine the alcohol must have been flowing.
Martinis.
And Ramona showed up wondering where her invite was. Out of all the places in New York, this bitch just walks right into the restaurant with half the cast.
You know, if it's to be believed that Ramona just showed up, this must be like the newest place that everyone wants to be seen. Kind of like maybe like the nice guy is here where all the celebrities are getting papped, going and leaving. Maybe that's what this Omar's is right now in their neighborhood in New York.
Probably, yeah. New place to be seen. And I'm sure someone like Lou would only have her birthday at a place to be seen.
Right. And a place where she's sure they're going to call Page Six.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Page Six has a very interesting relationship with Real Housewives of New York.
Well, they call it on each other all the time. And now it's gotten to the point where the editors are leaving in the footage of them accusing each other of it. And I'm like, this is just, like, the fourth wall is down.
Yeah.
Well, down. I think they must be seeing good numbers from it, because Page Six used to skew a lot older. It would be about the older A-list, and it would be things that, like, I would open it and I didn't really care about. Now you see Vanderpump Rules are on there all the time. They know what works now.
Yeah. You know, I've fallen completely off of Daily Mail. I don't really pay attention to Daily Mail anymore.
I read it all the time.
Really?
Because I feel like it gives so many details. Like, it's horrible grammar and spelling. It's a disaster.
Oh, it's a disaster.
But I feel like they give so many more details than anywhere else.
Yeah,
I know. Like, if I want more detail. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the bullet point thing that they do.
Mm-hmm. But is it me when you read an article on Daily Mail that they repeat facts like four times?
Oh, it's horribly written. It's like written by a computer, I think. Like,
Because I was like, wait a minute, I just read this. And then they put these big images. Like, I don't know, I don't look at it on my phone, but I feel like when I'm scrolling, they put like the largest resolution images. So you forget, you're like, how long is this? Didn't I already read this? It's like the same picture, but instead of someone with their hand up like this, near their ear, the hand is like down near their knee or something. It's like the same angle. Like, why repeat that image?
They're maximizing the SEO, I think. So when people are searching, that's why the writing probably sounds wonky too, because they keep saying the same phrases or the same names or the same order over and over again. And a lot of times, like Google, if you have a lot of good pictures on the site, that makes it rank higher. And so it sounds to me like they're just following an algorithm without really caring what the actual article says.
So that makes sense.
Strictly going for search purposes. passes. For clicks.
But if I read something on People or Page Six or New York or anywhere, and I'm like, I have follow-up, like I have a million follow-up questions. They don't give details. And then I go to Daily Mail and it's a piece of crap, but at least they like give details down to like what the person bought their house for. Like they go ridiculous.
They really do go into like the minutia of it all. But yeah, I've kind of fallen off of that as far as sources for this show. I'm always looking for new places to find stuff that what's topical. Like I look at E, I look at People. People is pretty well-rounded. Mm-hmm. I love Inside Edition, but they never really have anything to like that matches up. If they have a lot of things like, oh, we're talking with like Kate Middleton's second cousin's barber or something like that. Like it's way like, I don't have an interest.
I love that guy.
Someone's barber. Like, I don't care. But, sure. But that's just a few of my favorite sources. Harry Dubin showed up at this party in New York at Omar's. He's a real clinger on this article. I hope this is true, but no one really knows. And apparently, Luann physically shooed him away and said, "Get away from me." I would love to witness that.
But what did he ever do to her?
I don't know. I thought he was only with Sonya.
Yeah,
maybe she doesn't appreciate that he's like always a hanger-on, and she's like, get away from me.
She married the other hanger-on.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's right above that.
Are these like the Slate Smileys?
He's always trying. Isn't he the one that's always trying to do a business deal with one of the housewives?
And he was married to Aviva, and then he was with Sonya, and he's like kind of like always been in the fray.
Oh, ooh, a real hanger-on.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Ooh, and that's never a good look. I mean, I went to the New York social scene. I wonder how they view him. As being such a wheeler dealer, you know? Ooh, I don't know. What else? Bethany has been looking really bad in the most recent episodes. Not physically, but just these. I don't know what the hell she's doing. She's twisting. She's just twisting these Carol's words. And, you know, she's really a mess. I've never been a fan of her. And she's not making any friends on this season. Now, Christy, I know you don't keep up with New York, but what do you know about Bethany? You know, how do you view her as an outside viewer?
What I've seen of her has been, like, the few cameos she's had on Beverly Hills or just when she's out giving interviews in entertainment news and stuff. And, oh, also Shark Tank.
Oh, right.
So I think I probably have I get to see a different Bethany than what you guys are probably watching on Real Housewives of New York. Mm-hmm. And I've never been that off put by her, I guess. But I think if I consumed more of her, I would be over it.
Yeah. Fern, what do you make
of this? I love her. I think she's hilarious. I think she's the sharpest of all the housewives ever were. But I think she's has her moments where she's really in the wrong. Like she uses her intelligence. She doesn't use her powers for good sometimes. Like, she makes fun of people. Like, she's like, said something about Ramona. She's like, let's see what this moron thinks, which is hilarious, but mean. And she was gaslighting Carol. She was saying, I didn't email or whatever. I didn't call Adam. And Carol's like, you know my point. You emailed him or whatever. You corresponded with him. It doesn't matter. The point is. And she knows exactly what the point is, but she's gaslighting her. Luckily, Carol's smart enough to know what's going on.
Right.
I think she was really not... I think she was... She can be in the wrong, and I think she's in the wrong in this fight, but I still love her. She makes me laugh.
Yeah. How do you feel about her, Megan?
I think, to your point about the way she's not looking good this season, it's interesting because I feel like she is always the one trumpeting the truth, and she is the person trying to throw little white lies in or twist the truth this year, and the entire audience can see it and she's not getting away with it, which is different for her. She's usually, oh no, we're going to be honest and you guys never want to talk and we're going to bring it all out, and it's not that Bethany this year, and it's not a good look on her. I feel like it's not what we're used to.
Oh, that's so true.
I think she's too hung up in the minutia, like you were saying, Fern. Even like they were talking about, was it a Saturday? Was it a Sunday? Like, it just is so beyond the point. I would really hate to argue with her because I know someone like this in my own life. And, you know, they just spin things and talk in circles and you can't get anywhere. And that's where that was frustrating for me to watch, this big argument in the Berkshires. And even when it was over, like normally it always ends, you know, with a tiff or something. Someone said something, there's a reveal or Kristen throws a drink and then it's over. But with this, another show, Minimum Rules. But, like, you know, it always kind of goes to a point. And with this one, I actually did say, like, wow. Like, I said out loud to myself, I was like, wow, that, you know, that was a real argument. Like, it wasn't about, you know, did you send an article to Page Six? This was, like, a real thing to me was, like, you know, you see just a relationship reach its point where it was like, ooh, okay, yes, these people have something to figure out. I don't think I could be bothered being friends with Bethany, though. To me, I've always said it. I think she's a miserable person. I don't think she enjoys her life. I don't know what to tell her. I think it was Jenny McCarthy's show. They were talking about the hashtag This Is a Crisis shirts that Bethany wears. Mm-hmm. And it's like they were laughing because they were like, that's like the story of her life. Everything in Bethany's life is a crisis.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, and I'm like, God. A little bit. Just saying. So that's my view on Bethany. In the meantime, we're going to come back in a bit and we're going to talk about 90 Day Fiancé, a show that I've recently discovered and it's just consuming my life. But first, I want to let you guys know that the tickets are available over on eventbrite.com. You can find that on my social media. If you want to come to the live show, it's June 30th, 7 o'clock, Los Angeles.
Come hang out with us.
Yeah,
yes. It'll be so much fun.
We're going to be there and it's going to be a good time and I'm putting a lot of work into this. So definitely check that out if you can. And that episode will air in sync with the 100th episode in the beginning of July. And we'll be back with more rants. And we're back talking with the full panel, Fern, Megan, Christy, and myself. And we're having a blast talking about all these topics. And we're now going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé. Happy Ever After? Question mark. Is that the name of the show?
Happily Ever
Happily.
After?
Is it? Because there's nothing too happy going on in this show. Now, I've binged, I've watched, I've seen almost everything I can stomach. I'm in for this Happily Ever After spinoff of the show. And I'm going to keep watching all the others because each of these people have a very unique story. Now, I'm new. Christy, you've watched.
Since the beginning.
Really?
Yes.
So this is on the Learning Channel. Have you learned anything since watching from the beginning?
Yes. That people, whether they know each other or not, will have messed up relationships and get married when they shouldn't, regardless of their past circumstances.
Yeah. Now, Fern and Megan, have you heard anything about this show? I've heard a lot, but I've never actually took the dive until recently.
Yes, I feel like in our reality TV circles, like this is a big one that people love and love to talk about and love to recommend. So I've definitely heard people saying, oh my God, you have to watch. But I have never yet. So but I feel like I will now.
I have heard nothing about it. Really? Maybe because I don't know if I live in a box, but I've heard nothing about it. Then you sent that article and I was like, what am I reading? I couldn't even really understand the concept of the I'm so confused.
Fern, I think you would like the show because it's about people's stories.
Yes.
And it's like the true dysfunction of relationships.
I love analyzing relationships. I love analyzing people. But I felt like I got like a little, like the reason I like Housewives is because I like being a voyeur into their lives. I don't know if I want to look into these people's lives.
I know. It's funny, like the very first feeling I got, I didn't know how to like interpret it, but I was like, I almost feel like someone's a guardian angel where you see people like making very bad decisions in slow motion.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I guess that they're going to have to go through this to learn something. But you can see that it's like you're in a position where you're just seeing like these people like justify the most ridiculous life-changing decisions with children involved, money.
Yeah, you know, you spend the whole hour going, why are these people getting married? Why is this happening? Yeah. But you're so grateful that it is, so you can watch it.
Yeah. I can't remember the couple, but there was some bonus thing on the TLC app. And it was like, yeah, well, we have our wedding scheduled. And, you know, we're just really, you know, we're still deciding what we're going to do tomorrow morning. But we're going to go through with it. This is the night before and you're still not sure?
So my question is, is one of each of the couples, one person attempting to get a visa?
Yes.
Or so they want to get married to an American so they can become a citizen?
Yeah. The original series was 90 Day Fiancé, and that followed the initial, like, them going to see the person one last time or whatever, and then the person comes to America for the 90 days. That's what it is. They get a fiancé visa, and then they have 90 days to get married or they have to go home. That's what the urgency is. That's why it seems like you say, they're justifying things they wouldn't normally because they only have 3 months. Otherwise, they're donezo.
And it's all people they meet online. You know what I mean? It's like they FaceTime with them. And they're each of these couples that we'll talk about as many as I can get through. But because I want to get Fern and Megan's reaction to these people. You know, I feel like both of them are very responsible women. I want to know, what would you do in these situations? What advice would you solicit? These people need every little bit of help they can get. But each of them kind of have a little bit of a concentrated storyline where, like, you've got one, the Chantel and Pedro. The problem with their relationship is that his mother keeps a very close line on the son, and he's very responsible for sending money home, money that they don't have. He works in a warehouse. His wife is studying to be a nurse, mm-hmm. and so they don't have a lot of money. They're living in an efficiency, but yet the mother wants them to just ship.
She has a beautiful apartment back home, the mom and the sister that the husband is paying for.
A big flat screen TV she wants that she's owed. She says, "You owe me this," to the son. And so, you know, he's not paying attention to the wife in this part because he's so one-sided with the mother. What advice would you give them? I mean, this is like a real mess.
Keep in mind, this is the couple where they told her parents initially that he was coming as a student, that he was on a student visa. And then they were like, actually, we've been lying this whole time and we have to get married tomorrow. So they started off on the wrong foot entirely, and the families are at complete war.
Oh, totally at war, yeah.
Wow. So I would tell her to ship him back to wherever he's from. If he worships his mother more than her, then go live with your mother. Bye.
That will never change. When you marry, my grandmother always says, when you marry someone, you marry the family. And Correct. You marry into that dynamic no matter what.
Yeah, I can tell you that. No, I love my in-laws, but they are so funny. But she has, the nurse has nothing to gain here. She has nothing to gain. Yeah. He should get shipped back, and she can move on to someone else who's doesn't have these issues. She doesn't need a visa. She doesn't need him.
Yeah. What is she getting?
Bye to him.
Yeah, yeah.
She can meet anybody else on an app or online that doesn't need to be using her for
exactly.
The
visa.
Yeah. Another couple. First of all, this woman Molly is already creating a crime by walking around with a tribal tattoo. Like I'm already like, wow, I can't with her. She's got this young 20-something guy who was
a
waiter.
She's like mid-40s.
Yeah, she's got this guy, and this storyline is he doesn't want to be a dad to her kids. He's like 23, 24, and she's, like you said, in her 40s, and she's got kids that are not, like, they're not toddlers, and he doesn't want to accept the responsibility of having to raise them or be any type of a father figure.
He asked the teenage daughter about her sex life last season.
Yeah, because she's got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this Olivia, that's the one you're referring to, she's the one being the parent. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's like telling her mom and telling him, she's like, I'm out of chances to give you. Like, she told this guy and her own mother, she's like, I've got my together and you need to figure whatever this is out. Mm-hmm. I was like, I really appreciate her.
Yeah.
I think she's 15?
She's 17, okay, I think. Yeah. Because she's driving them around and she's taking a lot of responsibility.
New stepfather was asking her about her sex life. Mm-hmm. That should be red flag of the century. Like, another one, take him to the border, kick him, bye bye. That's disgusting.
It sounds like she's taking on another kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Listen.
You know,
he's got to go.
He must have told everybody the same thing as she. He, you know, schmoozed her at the bar when she was on vacation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And one of those. And so now that they're together, these people, the thing that makes me the most sick, though, is this trend of women making their kids call their new men daddy.
Oh,
ew.
It's like, daddy's on the phone, daddy's coming. And it's supposed to be, some of these kids are under 10.
Where's the real dad? Don't they call the real dad?
So we're getting to Nicole and Asan now.
Oh, I thought his name was Asin.
Asin, yes.
Which is an unfortunate name to begin with.
Yeah.
But this girl, Nicole, this girl is definitely less than smart. How can I say stupid nicely?
Well, she's from... Oh, sorry. I almost just alienated 1/50th of your listeners.
She's from the East Coast.
She's from Florida.
Oh.
Lots of lovely people in Florida, but...
I know. No.
Not
but
this
Florida and Ohio have the best news story because these people are
crazy.
This girl, though, is really, she's a plus size girl. She's with a guy who's young. Is it like a fitness trainer?
Hot.
Yeah. And so, the first thing he said was like, oh, she's big. So he basically called her fat the first time that he met her. And she's got this daughter. She lives in like a reformed motel, like a one room
really
motel.
Sad.
Yeah, and she's clearly like a young mom.
The daughter's like three. She hauled the daughter all the way to
Morocco
last season and kept her there for, I think, a month or two. Oof. Away from the grandparents that she's used to and all that. Took this girl over to be with him, and it was a complete disaster.
So it's really a mess because the family like is like paying for him a little bit so that they keep her in the United States. But like no one has the balls to tell this girl that she's making a huge mistake.
Yeah, her parents are going to front the money to sponsor, yeah. They call it sponsor him. That's what you have to do when you do this 90-day fiancé, so that the person isn't here left with nothing if Nicole does not make enough money. So her parents have to sign off on being financially responsible for him.
For 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And is this guy like a PhD? Is he like, what's his name?
Asan?
No.
No, he's like a fitness guy.
Is he like
guy.
The greatest guy ever?
No, and he's terrible to her.
Then why are the parents paying for it?
Their first date, he put her on a treadmill.
Oh my God.
Red flag.
Oh man. And you know, another one who has a young child. You know, she's like you said, she took this child to Morocco. You know, she's got him calling him daddy and all this stuff. And he totally doesn't have any interest in her. Like, it's really
well,
like...
Well, and she and Nicole has cheated a couple times. They have...
What is going on?
Yeah, and they have serious...
It gets worse. It gets worse because the next two are take the cake. So this one, though, David and Annie, this is a real... Like, I was waiting for the Hot Mess Express couple because they're all bad. But I was like, where is, like, the real, just, like, you like this fire, just mess on the side of the road that you can't not look at? And it's this guy, David, this big, fat, old guy with this 20-something Thai girl named Annie. They're living in a public firehouse. And now they're being asked to pay rent. And he goes, oh, I have to pay $1,000 a month in rent? He was like, couldn't believe it. He's lucky, only $1,000. Like, these people, what world do they come from?
Right. Well, that's just it. He had a wealthy friend bankrolling his life for the last several years. So when he was going to Thailand and when he was trying to marry Annie and get the dowry for her family and all of that, his friend was fronting him all that cash. And now the friend's wife has said, nope, it's time, we're going to cut you off. And now they're SOL.
Yeah. That friend's wife is the only real one on the show. Mm-hmm. She is the one who's like point blank, like, we're not doing this. Like, I'm not paying for you or for this. Like, I want nothing to do with this. Like, she's the only real world person.
Right.
So I appreciate her because she's like the only dose of reality that I'm seeing.
Because they signed on in that situation too to be financially responsible for the woman when he brought her here for Annie.
Oh.
Two losers. I took a shower earlier today and I was like, I know I made a note that one of these couples were two losers. But which one? It could be any of them.
They sound like all of them are.
Are all of these decisions being rooted in like money problems as well? Like,
that's a problem part of it for most of them, yeah.
This is crazy.
Are they making a lot of money from the show pretending to do this ridiculous stunt?
That's what I wonder. They say that the Americans are being paid. So in this case, this guy David is getting paid, but the foreigners aren't because they can't pay people that aren't citizens. The production company can't pay. So that apparently the foreigners make no money, but they can get money from their spouse or their relationship if that person so chooses.
And I suppose then, so once they've gotten married and they're doing the happily ever after spinoff,
yeah.
Then I would assume that both the husband and wife were getting paid then, probably, right?
But I mean, I don't understand. If you're on a TV show, you can't pay $1,000 in rent a month. How are these people going to the grocery store? How do you fill up a gas tank? I know he's driving around in a car.
Does he know he's going to make a lot more money in this country than he did in his prior country?
Well, like, this guy's not the foreigner. This guy is. That's the problem.
Oh.
Yeah.
He went to Thailand because he couldn't get a job here.
Yeah.
So what was he paying here for rent? I'd love to know.
Oh, yeah. And he had to do the whole dowry thing and all that, like buy mules and all this stuff. What a mess. So, those two are the biggest ones. They're the oddest looking couple because he's like this big, overweight, old guy, half balls, like completely out of it. And then she's like this, like, what, 24?
You know, yeah, maybe 25.
A Thai girl, yeah. And just like she's a lot smaller than him physically. They're just like a very odd couple. And I was like, wow. When I first saw them standing next to each other, I was like, what's their story? And of course, it didn't disappoint. I couldn't imagine. And then let's talk about, and I'm dying to get your opinion on this, Christy. This and Fisa and George.
Oh, God.
They're kind of like the crown jewel of crap, I think that you could say.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, they're like the one couple that people can't look away from. They're by far the worst and most disgusting couple. She's from Moscow, Russia. She's an unapologetic gold digger.
Yes. Has made that clear from day one.
Yeah. She's like, what's the most important thing in a relationship? The husband asks, money. Like, you know, not even like, you know, like, oh, you know, we have chemistry. No, nothing like that. No. And so she, talk about a relationship where they just fight and string each other along. And he alleged that she is a prostitute, but indirectly. And like, there are photos of her doing amateur porn on webcams, but that he denies it. And they fight and fight and fight. It's really gross. What advice do you have for them?
Well, she just gets hysterical. She's one of these young women who has not learned yet, I think, how to control herself or her feelings, and she doesn't have anything else to do here. She's been literally just sitting around on her butt here because she couldn't do anything, she couldn't work or anything, and I think she's kind of driven herself nuts. A lot of the scenes you see with the most heat between the two of them is her like screaming at him to come home, or like, I'm lonely, I need to go get dinner, I'm this and that. I mean, she's a child.
Yeah,
she's a child. And but she has been honest from the beginning, and he's the one who lied and told her that he was a millionaire.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he's involved in the marijuana business, and then he went to jail, and...
Yeah, and they say they live in Los Angeles, but I know where they live. They live in Orange County, California, because I recognize the places. That's where I went to school.
They lived in Park La Brea for a while, like when they were first together. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he was living in a motel when she first came here. She still didn't figure it out.
Well, now...
And then they moved into Park La Brea.
Well, now she lives in her own apartment, and he lives at home with his parents. So it
who
only gets better.
Her.
Yeah. So it only gets better and more classy. But yeah, this girl, you know, I don't think they'll ever break up. They're one of those real tortured romances, I think.
They need each other.
Yeah. They just stew in each other's misery.
It sounds like he doesn't need her. He could find another crazy person who he doesn't have to pay for.
He claims he found her because American girls were crazy.
None of the Americans sound like they're getting anything from
this. A lot
this.
Of them are very, or maybe not. If you put them on paper and put them on a dating site, you probably wouldn't swipe.
Okay.
You made a good point with these couples, Fern, about like what are the Americans getting out of it? Because it's true, like these people are kind of being tortured, if not by their spouse, but by their families because they're with this person. I don't see anyone really that happy. I guess maybe we don't get the privilege of seeing those people. We only get the horror stories. We only see the messy side of all of this. But there was one couple on previously, her name was Lauren. Her name was Lauren. Yeah, and so she was saying like, oh, you know, you guys give this K-1 visa a stigma. Like, people really like have to like apply multiple times sometimes. And you guys got it your first attempt after knowing each other for 2 months. And yeah, I can get why that's frustrating. You wonder how that's chosen, but why do they do? Why do they put themselves on the show? Especially if you really want it to work.
Because they need the money to pay to bring the fiancé over on the fiancé visa.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there's something that they're getting out of it. It's a mess. You guys can find the show on TLC. I'm going to be watching it.
I think you should. I'm in it.
Yeah, just when I think it's like, okay, maybe I can get a reason why I can understand, or maybe she's not as dumb as I think she is. They are. It's incredible. It's incredible.
I think it's incredible TLC has still branded themselves as the Learning Channel when they're some of the best, messiest reality television nowadays.
Trash.
I love their reunions. They call them tell-alls or whatever, and like Sean Robinson, who used to be at, I think, Access Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened to her, but this is like her jam now, and she's there like facilitating all of these interviews and then Skype calls if they go through and all this stuff. It's such
a mess. Is TLC the one that does the like marriage boot camp? That's another.
That's me. Oh. Yeah. Which I also get sucked into, but it's such garbage.
I watched one of the celebrity ones seasons. I can't remember.
They're
which
juicy.
One.
I mean,
I think it was one of the ones with Kendra.
Yeah.
Oh, she was all over WeTV. Yeah, that was like her thing for a while. She went with that husband of hers, but he stepped out. I believe it was like a transsexual or whatever. Like, didn't he step out on her?
Yeah, there was a whole big story. Maybe she touched his penis. Maybe he ran.
Oh.
I don't really know, but.
Well, you
one
know,
never
they're,
knows.
They're breaking up. So.
Now they're getting divorced.
Oh, they are? Oh, well.
RIP that relationship.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know that, and I'm not the least bit surprised. Speaking about all these dysfunctional relationships, I can't help but think of Vanderpump Rules and what happened at the end of this long season. You know, the show started with a bang. It was strong in the beginning.
Literally.
It was strong in the beginning, and it didn't disappoint for me throughout. I enjoyed it till the end. But Now we're at the reunion is wrapped, the show is over, and I feel like we're right back where we started. So for me, I'm a little frustrated. How did you feel about the season?
Kind of like you said, it started out with a bang. I thought they delivered. I thought it was much better than a couple previous seasons.
Yes.
But I kind of went out with a whimper at the end for me. But not, all in all, I'll give it a B+. That was great.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it this season.
No, you didn't watch it.
I'm surprised.
I don't know why. I just feel like it's the same. I feel like it's a little bit of the same thing. Like, I would just read the Daily Mail headlines.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't have an interest.
I know. No. I missed it maybe 4 episodes, and I felt like I didn't miss anything because I would see the headlines about the show from the night before, and I was kind of like, okay, I'm caught up.
One thing I caught at the reunion that I really enjoyed was Tom Sandoval's strife with Lisa Vanderpump around this new restaurant and like this push-pull of like, why are they doing what they're doing? Like, what's their purpose in this project? Like, and you know, I don't trust her. I wouldn't do business with her. I wouldn't even expect her to pay for the meter maid. So for me, I want nothing to do with Lisa Vanderpump. So I totally get like him questioning and like even taking offense with having Stassi being an event planner, which I really didn't envision her as being considered their boss, but that's how they perceived it.
See, that to me was baloney. Like, obviously that was a storyline for the show. Yeah. So for Tom to act like Stassi was actually in charge of them. It's like, Tom, you work once a month, maybe, when we're filming. So let's,
like, you're not fooling us anymore.
Yeah. Well, he loves being in on those fake storylines. Like, he'll do anything. Throw a pack of Bud Light at him.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's what they always are pushing. Isn't Bud Light the free beer they're always pushing on the show?
Oh, it's something
it's Coors
like that.
Light or Bud Light, one or the other.
I think it's Coors.
And he's like got 2 cases, like one in each hand, yeah. And he's like, "Hey guys, I brought the beer."
Yeah, so. I remember being very unimpressed, so it must have been Coors. Yeah. Yeah. Overall, like I enjoyed this season. Whatever. I don't know why, but I have a soft spot for that Sheena. I don't know why.
I do too. I've always loved her. She's always been my favorite. She's been very kind to me over the years and just doing interviews and stuff like that. So I'm ride or die for people who have given me their time like that. But I'm honestly kind of concerned for her future on this show. You know, she was the catalyst for the first storyline ever on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And now she's gotten to a place where she doesn't have really any allies. Even the drama that she has isn't that juicy. You know, she's mad because someone said this or that, or, you know, people are saying mean things about her. But it's not like she did anything or didn't do anything. And I just, I'm not sure where she fits anymore, where she adds to the show. I would love to see her on her own show. I would watch that. I would have watched a spinoff when she was in Vegas or something of that nature. But I don't know that a lot of people would.
Yeah. I have hope for her because I feel like she doesn't quit. Like, she wants to be famous. It's on her radar. Like, all these other kids, you think about it, they're either still working at the restaurant to be on the show, or they haven't done much since they left the restaurant and are just doing the show. And I feel like she's out there putting so many irons in the fire trying to really become somebody. And I have no doubt that after they've stopped filming, they'll all get together and be friends again. And somehow we'll start from, she at least has a few allies again when we start next season. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
I've said before, I think she lives her life around the show because they go in production like starting in June. Then the show, they wrap production. So that's like June to December, with December kicking off the new season always. They can never be like free from like the show. It's like, and she's one that's always trying to find something to do and talk about. And she talking about how she didn't watch the episodes and all this stuff, and she only fast-forwarded through it, but she didn't want to watch her relationship, like, fall apart. She didn't want to relive it. So, like, what did you watch? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, exactly what she watched.
I think it was a hair and makeup check. Just making sure she looks good. And Sheena, you always do.
She's the sweetest. She really is. Like, I feel like as far as all of the ones we've met in interviews and stuff, like, she is really, like, a kind and loyal person. So I'm rooting for her.
Yeah.
She's
although
a sweetie.
I put on Instagram, production got revenge on her eating that pasta, choking down the pasta. Did you see that clip?
I mean, in the final seconds of the last episode of the reunion, they brought out a little tray
of pasta.
So they got her slurping down one piece of ziti. Was it ziti or something?
I don't know what
it just was like the most evil, rude shot possible of them to use. And it looked like a giraffe would be eating or something. Like, it was just the meanest thing. I was like, so unnecessary. They totally got her.
That's why you don't eat on camera. Right. I will never I will never do it. If I do a reality show or anything like that, I will not be, especially eating pasta on camera. It's never that easy to eat pasta. Mm, right. So, you know, I would never do that. But they got her. It was like literally group shot, close up on her choking down this pasta, cut to a light, cut to the end card that says Vanderpump Rules. It was like such a deliberate edit.
I know. I was like, she really pissed somebody off this year.
Wow.
She had an unflattering edit this year.
I don't know. I got a good laugh out of that. Anyway, Sheena's showing out on Twitter. She, you know, after all that she did and said, she's saying, Jax and Brittany are celebrating 3 years together, you know.
Congratulations, you know guys.
What? I have a little juice. Not that this is real. I don't know. Someone sent me, it was a photo of, so I guess like a private Facebook group where they talk about Vanderpump Rules and other reality shows. And it said like, oh my God, I met Brittany at Pump last night and she's engaged to Jax. And I was like, this is good. I mean, I don't know if it's true because this was like a Facebook chat comment, but I was like, I would believe that for sure.
I would believe it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would believe it because after
she's
such a
thinking, it went on to say that she's convinced that he's going to move home to Kentucky with her and they're going to start their family. He will never leave this show.
Congratulations, guys. Enjoy Kentucky.
I mean, that ain't going to work out.
Oh,
no. That ain't going to work out.
Does she want to move to Kentucky? I feel like she's so Hollywood now,
it's
right?
It's maybe more of a desire to get him out of Hollywood. Probably.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, relationships like that are really not based on any type of, like, health or like smart, like, you know, like they're just, the last thing they should be doing is getting engaged. But that's what happens when you have like these highs and lows in relationships. So I'm not surprised that he like was like, all right, the season's over, you know, the whole season I was terrible to you, so now I'm gonna propose to make up for the whole thing. Like, weird thinking.
Maybe or to make sure another season, yeah, to make sure they're on a spinoff.
Oh,
we haven't gotten anything about that.
Spare me.
I feel like
anyone who like is made a fool of by their partner on national television and then continues to be with them is just doing it for the money. Like, they just want to make money in their own spinoff, maybe do a wedding, maybe have a baby, and then get divorced and live their life happily, but have made this money. I feel like they're just, you can't really. How can she really forgive him?
She might be naive enough to believe it all.
Yeah.
And now he's got a good, not a good act going, but, you know, he's really in his feelings right now, understandably so. So it's probably easy to buy all that.
Yeah, they're running with this whole changed man since his father passed. So that's the new era Jax is here, and we have to see what happens with that. But Sheena has changed her way of thinking, and she wished them a happy anniversary on Twitter. She said, "Happy anniversary, lovebirds. Your love has proven to be strong enough to survive anything. Love you both." And, like, she doesn't love either of them during the show.
Maybe they'll get married on next Brittany. Season.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
I think they have to keep something going, and if you don't break up and make it that the conflict, then it'll be like wedding planning conflict. Yeah. Like, there
I
has
also
to
don't
be
need to see another wedding on this show.
No.
Like, I could use some new blood,
wedding free,
that are single.
I agree because that Tom and Katie situation is old. So. Well, that's my thoughts on that. So, yes, you guys, let's talk about a few things that you guys have going on. Anything you want to promote? Anything you can say? What's good? What's going on, Christy?
Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on Sirius XM Monday through Thursday on channel 109. I've got my little hands in that. You may not hear me a whole lot, but I'm making some stuff happen behind the scenes and helping her put out some good programming. So
that's
check good. That
that's,
out.
That's a lot of work. Yeah, good for you.
It is. It's a lot of fun, too.
Good. Good. Megan, anything good? What's going on?
You know, everything's been very quiet on this front of things for me, so I don't know. Look for me anytime. I might pop up anywhere.
There you go. That's a great answer. I love that. Yeah. And Fern, what's good?
Fern is, I don't know if I said this the last time I was on the podcast, but my second book, I sold it to the same publisher, so it'll come out next year. And I might start my own podcast with the Believers in Signs, like 15-minute stories of people's stories. So if you believe in signs, follow me.
That's great. Yeah, get into the podcast game. Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a smart time to do that. So, I encourage that for sure. So you guys can check out this show, of course. Let some friends know. And if you're interested in the live show, tickets over on eventbrite.com. And Grants Rants Live, Keeping It 100, I believe is the title of that. And that is coming together. I love you for listening, and we'll be back with more Rants. Keep it real.
This has been Grants Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grants Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.